is awesome to be able to have that time with you. All right, let's go before the Father. Let's thank Him for our time this morning. I want to bring an encouraging word to you and begin our new series called You're Worth It. And so I want you to get ready to receive from God and from the Holy Spirit. I believe He's got things to tell each one of you. And it's great to already have the Jacksons online, the Fatatos, the Blairs, Sister Valley, and Janet and Nicholas, I believe, are also online. So it's great to have you guys. All right, let's go before the Father and thank Him for our time together in the Word of God on this beautiful day that He has made. So, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father God, that as we approach Your Word, that You're able to bring life to us, to help us to change our thinking, to help us to think more in line with the way You think. Father, to be able to see things the way You see things. And Father, that You would help us to see our value, our worth today in Your eyes. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Great to have Averill on as well. And it's awesome. We're going to begin today with a scripture in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And I believe my parents are watching from Florida. So great to have you on as well. All right, in Matthew chapter 13, we are going to read a particular passage that Jesus shared with us regarding the parable of the pearl of great price. In verse 45 of Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 of Matthew chapter 13. And again, when you come online, let us know that you're here. We like to know who's here and say hello to each other. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45. That's what we're going to be reading this morning. And Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Verse 46. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, and went and sold all that he had and bought it. All that he had, and he bought the pearl of great price. It's great also to have this morning Shirley Elliott and Miss Rebecca from Georgia. So it's great to have you guys checking in as well. Again, so Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46 is going to set the stage for, I believe, an awesome sermon series that I'm going to be bringing to you for the month of February. And it has to do with You're Worth It. You're Worth It. You know, in an age where there is so much going on in our world, it's so much strife and division and down talking and we've had so much in the last 18 months or so that has been very difficult for a lot of people. I believe that God wants us to hear some things about that we are worth it. Sister Navi is also watching this morning, and we are happy that she is connecting in today as well. You know, and I started thinking about the value of things. And as I was meditating and thinking about this series, I started thinking about, you know, the value of, say, a piece of cardboard. A piece of cardboard. You know, when we look at a piece of cardboard like this, you know, sometimes we would say that's not valuable. You know, it's great also to have the Licatas on as well. And so when we look at a piece of cardboard like this, we would say, oh, let's put that in the recycle pile. Or burn it in a fire because it's really not valuable. It's not worth it. What if I were to tell you that there are certain pieces of cardboard that are worth hundreds and thousands of dollars, and they're pieces of cardboard? I want you to ponder that just for a moment. Or what about something that looks like the real thing? I have here some what we call costume jewelry. These are not real pearls. They're very nice. They look really nice when my wife wears them. And they're very pretty. But would you pay thousands and thousands of dollars for costume jewelry? What if I were to tell you that in recent years, there were pieces of costume jewelry that sold for over $200,000, and they were not even real? If I told you that a piece of cardboard went for thousands and thousands of dollars, what makes the difference? Or, here's a good one, what about a used toothbrush? A used toothbrush. Great to have Marcia on as well. A used toothbrush. This happens to be mine. It's in pretty good condition. It's in pretty good condition because it's pretty new. And if this is grossing some of you out, it's designed to actually, it's grossing my wife out, it's designed to actually get your attention a little bit about things of value. Okay? Now, what if I told you that there was an actual used toothbrush that went for auction for $23,000. Would you pay $23,000 for a used toothbrush? Apparently, there's a market for that. I wouldn't have known what that might be. But what is the difference between all of these things? Imitation pearls, a used toothbrush, a piece of cardboard. What is all of these? Pastor, what are you getting at? What are you getting at here? I want to talk to you about what makes something valuable. What makes something valuable? When we value things, it's because they have some kind of connection to us. They have some kind of connection to us one way or another. And they have value. The piece of cardboard that I'm talking to you about that could be worth hundreds of dollars, the piece of cardboard, it's not just a blank piece of cardboard like this one, okay? It's not just a blank piece of cardboard like this one. It is actually, and you'll understand why, for those of you Yankee fans, this is a 1964 Mickey Mantle baseball card in mint condition. 1964 Yankees baseball card in mint condition. So when you look at this card, this is just a bubblegum card that has some printing on it, but it's associated with a superstar, a Yankee superstar from 1964. Now, that's the reason why a piece of cardboard could be a value. Why? Because there is a connection. There is a connection. I want you to understand that God made connection with you when he created you. Now, what about the story about the pearls that I told you about? Not the parable of the pearl of great price, but instead, what about the pearls that I said went for $200,000 at an auction? The reason why they went, and they were just costume jewelry, just like these, you would never pay $200,000 for costume jewelry. However, there are people who will pay $200,000 if it was worn by somebody famous. The pearls that I'm talking about actually were worn by Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, and they went for auction for $200,000. It's because of association. It is because of association regarding when something is of great value or of great price. Now, let's go back to Matthew 13 and verse 45 again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. I want to tell you today that you are valuable. You are valuable to God in so many, so many ways. And a lot of times we miss that value when we're just so focused on everything going on around us. We're focused on our circumstance. Sometimes we self-focus so much and we are so consumed with ourselves that we miss out on the fact that we have value. We have value in God's eyes. What about the toothbrush that I told you about? Well, it certainly wasn't mine. My toothbrush wouldn't go for $23,000 at an auction, I'm sure. In fact, it probably, when I'm done with it, it will go in a refuse bin or will go into recycle. And that's what it would do. But what about Napoleon Bonaparte's toothbrush? Well, it went for auction at $23,000. Why? Because it was owned by somebody famous, infamous, and that is the reason why. It was associated with somebody that put value on it. There was a poet named Myra Welch. It's great to have Rosa Jimenez on as well this morning. There was a poet by the name of Myra Welch. She lived about 100 years ago or so, a little less than that. And she went to hear a speaker. She went to hear a speaker with a bunch of young people. And as she went to hear this speaker, she was inspired. And she wrote an amazing poem. Perhaps you've heard this poem before. I want to read it to you, and then I'll tell you the title. "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely was worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bidden, good folks? He cried. Who start the bidden for me? A dollar? A dollar? Then two? Only two? $2? And who will make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no one from the room. Far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping off the dust from the old violin and tightening up the loose strings, he played a melody, pure and sweet as caroling angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, What am I bid for the old violin? And he held it up with the bow. $1,000. Who'll make it two? $2,000. Who make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, We do not quite understand what changed its worth. Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. And many a man with a life out of tune is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of portage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once and going twice. He's going almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand." It's great to have Angela Pacani on this morning. We are so happy to hear from you. I know that you moved away a little bit a while ago before the pandemic. It's great to have you this morning. And I know you recently had a birthday, so make sure you wish Angela a happy birthday there, okay? We just read out of Matthew 13, the pearl of great price. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 would be the next scripture I want us to go to in regarding our worth and understanding you're worth it. I want you to say out loud, I'm worth it. Just say that out loud, I'm worth it. I'm worth it. Go ahead and say that. Doesn't that feel good? Because you are worth it. In Ephesians 2 and 10, Ephesians 2 and 10, it says this, "For we are his workmanship." One translation actually says his masterpiece. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by what was called circumcision in the flesh by hands. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ, Jesus, who has once you were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You are worth it. And church, I want you to know that your worth is not in what you do. Your worth is not in who you know. Your worth is always found in God. And as I mentioned to you, that, you know, something of value is only of value when the purchaser deems that it's valuable. And as we know from some of the examples that I mentioned to you, whoever paid $23,000 for a used toothbrush, you and I might think they were a little bit crazy and it kind of skeeves us out a little bit, right? But they, for them, that was an important thing. They were valuable because they were connected to somebody. You are connected to our Heavenly Father. Now, I want us to turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And again, if you're just joining us, thank you for joining us on this snowy morning. Genesis chapter 1. And while we're finding that passage in Genesis chapter 1, how's the snow near you? It's coming down pretty substantially here where I live. Let us know. And for some of you that are further south, it's not snowing at all, I'm sure. Let us know what the temperature is. All right. In Genesis chapter 1, we see several times where God, in the work of creation, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, void and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And just to make things a little bit more connecting and interactive today, why don't you go ahead and show us a picture of the snow where you are. And if you happen to be at the beach, go ahead and show a picture of the beach. All right. Let there be light, and there was light, verse 3. I like what verse 4 says, and God saw the light, and it was good. It was good. Now, this is God's creation. And we see all through this chapter that God says his creation is good. And once he looks at it and he creates it, he says, and God saw that it was good. And he saw that it was good. And he saw that it was good. Verse 26 says this, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. It's great to have Sharita here as well. We want to welcome her. And verse 27, so God created man in his own image. There's that connection that we have, right? In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply the earth. And what I love that at one point in this passage, God saw what he had done, and he said, it was very good. You have been made very, very good. You're worth it. So go ahead and say that out loud. Say, I'm worth it. I'm worth it. Go ahead. I think it's okay to say that. You know, when Jesus, talking to the rich young ruler, he said this. He said, the rich young ruler asked him, what should I do to inherit eternal life? He said, well, love the you know, love the Lord, or actually Jesus asked the rich young ruler, and the answer was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So there's nothing wrong with self-love, understanding that you've been created by God. You've been created by God. Now, we're going to go and look at one more passage of value that I believe will help you and I understand more and more of what that value looks like for each one of us. All right, here we go. Sorry about that. All right, let's go to Mark. How's everybody's picture? You getting your picture of your snow? Nobody's done a picture of snow. We want to see a picture of snow. And if you happen to be further south, we want to see a picture of the beach. All right. Actually, what we're going to do right now is we're going to go to Luke. Here we go. Oh, how about a picture? What is that? All right, let's see. How about a pic? We're going to go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Again, we're going to talk about the value of stuff, the value of things. Okay, Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. Luke 15. Sorry, I had early told you, Mark. So Luke chapter 15. Now, Jesus is talking, and there's a bunch of tax collectors and sinners that drew near to him in verse 1. But I want us to skip on down to the parable of the lost sheep, which is right after that. And the Pharisees and the scribes, verse 2, came and said, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, verse 4, of Luke chapter 15, verse 4, "What of you have 100 sheep? If he loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' So I say to you, likewise, there will be great more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents over 99 just persons who need no repentance." I want you to see that when it comes to how much God values you and me, I want you to see that God values us so much that he gives us these pictures. He gives us these pictures of who we are, that he's created us in his image. It's great to have Miss Margaret Margalise with us as well. You know, during this series, these are some of the goals that I have for us. I want us to know that you are worth it to God to receive from him in spirit, soul, and body, to receive from him. You are worth it. You were bought with a price, according to what 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us. You're worth it. You were made in his image. You have value. You have connection. It's great to have the Santiago's watching and Michelle Washington watching this morning. You are worth it because of what he has deemed. Remember, I said that the value of an item is determined by the purchaser, not the seller. And so when the enemy wants to throw you on his junk heap and say you're not valuable, or when you look in the mirror and you tell yourself you're not valuable, that is not an accurate picture of your value. Instead, when we see the parable of the lost sheep, we see a shepherd who values his sheep so much that he would leave the 99. And according to most traditions, when one sheep would wander off, it was such a big deal because sheep were valuable. In fact, in that culture, it can't be overstated enough that Jesus uses a Middle Eastern farmer to signify our importance. Palestinian shepherds were experts at tracking down their lost sheep. They could track them for miles. They would brave cliffs. They would fight animals. And we know that from David's writing in Psalms, that he would rescue the sheep from the lion's mouth, from the bear. And it was such a vital thing because it was their livelihood. It was everything. It was their value. And so when they would go and find a lost sheep, they would do everything they could to find it. In fact, as it was said that the tribe that was herding flocks, it was a more of a communal thing than it was actually an individual thing. That's why there were shepherds in their flocks or watching their flocks by night when Jesus, the announcement of Jesus' birth, they were together because it was a communal thing. It was a community thing. And so what would happen is that they would value the sheep so much that if one was lost, they were told, you need to at least bring back the bones. You need to bring back the skin if you can find whatever happened to that sheep, because it was so incredibly valuable. Can you imagine this story, this picture of what Jesus is trying to get us to understand in Luke chapter 15? Can you imagine the joy that there was when they would find that lost sheep and they would come traipsing back to the group and they would have the sheep on their shoulder? You know, maybe the sheep had a cut foot or something like that. They would bring back that sheep to the herd. And what an amazing rejoicing that would happen. So we want to encourage you also to share and encourage others to come online this morning and let them be a part of what we're sharing with in the Word of God when it comes to your worth. You are worth it. You are worth it. You know, I want you to, as we've shared some of these things, whether it be a piece of cardboard that's worth thousands or hundreds of dollars, or costume jewelry that is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, or a used toothbrush that's worth $23,000. I mean, you're valuable to God because you have His DNA. You're valuable because He created you in His image. Genesis 1 tells us you were created in His image, and He says, very good. You are in His image. There's a connection to Almighty God. And I think during times of difficulty, it's easy to lose sight of that connection. It's easy to lose sight of the connection when maybe your body is racked with pain. Maybe your mental health isn't what it should be. They're saying right now, with such a lack of human connection, we were created for connection. We were created to connect with other human beings. And so we're not created to be alone. The philosopher and the poet John Locke, he said this. He said, no man is an island. We were created for community. We were created to be together. And right now, we have so many people that are hurting, both in a mental health state. We have people that are hurting physically. We have a disease that has attacked and ravaged many homes and families and communities. We have a spiritual dearth in our nation right now, where people are turning away from God, and we have different things. They're not finding the peace that comes from knowing their Creator. And I believe that God is sending people like you and me out to know that we are valuable. We are worth it. Even in our brokenness, we're worth it. Because He says, even though you're broken, I can fix you. Even though you're hurting, I can heal you. Even though you may not have peace in your mind, I can bring you peace that the world cannot give. I want you to know that you are worth it because you were created in His image. I want you to know that you're worth it. He accepts you even in your brokenness and your pain and your confusion. Just think of the lost lamb. A lamb, when it gets lost, it doesn't know it's lost. In fact, I think it's interesting that God uses sheep a lot of times to illustrate us. If you've ever been around sheep, they're not the most intelligent animal on the planet. But God uses us as an example and says, we're like sheep who've gone astray, each one of us. And God wants you to know that He's out to rescue you. You're worth it because He accepts you, even in your brokenness, your pain, and that difficulty that you're going through. He values you. He values you. It's great to have Angelica and Cletus as well watching this morning. I want you to know you are worth it because you were made in His image. You are worth it because He accepts you and He looks for you even in your brokenness, pain, and confusion. Just like a lost lamb who might be caught up in the thicket or may have been chased by a bear or a lion, maybe you're wounded and God is, He's out sending the Good Shepherd. That's why Jesus is known as the Good Shepherd. He's looking for you. He's looking for you to rescue you. We want to set a foundation that you are valued, you are loved. He determined the purchase price. You are worth it because you have been purchased by God. Don't forget, it's the touch of the Master's hand that makes the difference. It's the touch of the Master's hand. I love that particular poem, and several years ago, Christian artist turned it into a song, and one of the things he said, what was the difference? It was the touch of the Master's hand. When God touches your life, He touches my life, He can make a life that was out of tune sing in great, great, great harmony. And so this morning we have been talking about you're worth it. You're worth it to God. You're worth it to other people. You know, you might not even think so. You might not even think that you're needed or seen or heard. But God loves you. And the three things I wanted you to pick up today is that you are worth it because you were created in His image. You are worth it because you were created in His image. So number one, you are worth it because you were created in His image. You're worth it. You're worth it. Say that out loud. Say, I'm worth it because I was created in His image. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, you were created in His image. Verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. You are created in His image and you are worth it. You are worth it. Number two, you are worth it because He sought you out. He seeks you out. And we saw that in Luke chapter 15 in the parable of the lost sheep. He seeks you out. You're worth it because He seeks you out. And number three, you're worth it because He purchased you. He purchased you. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Again, you are worth it because He purchased you. He purchased you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. He purchased you. You are worth it. Those three points again. You are worth it because you were created in His image. Genesis 1, 26. You are worth it because He sought you out. Luke 15. I want you to know that God loves you so much. John 3:16 sums it up and wraps it up so much when it says this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You are worth it. In this series, we are going to learn that you're worth it to receive spiritual health. In this series, you will learn that you are worth it to receive mental health, that he wants to give you the peace that passes all understanding. And you are worth it to receive physical health and healing because of what Jesus has done for you and me. Ephesians chapter 1 says this. It says that we have been made purchased possessions. Purchased possessions. That means in spirit, soul, and body, God has purchased you. We're purchased. We've been bought with a price. And I want to encourage you today that you're worth it. You're valuable. And it doesn't matter how you grew up, whether you grew up poor, it doesn't matter what nationality, what skin color, what culture, you're worth it because God loves you. And we're going to explore in this series how you're worth it to receive spiritual health. He wants you to be healthy spiritual. He wants you to be healthy mentally. Mental health, peace of mind. And he wants you in your soulish realm, in your mind, your will, and emotions. He wants to give you peace. He wants to help you in your physical life. And we're going to find out from the scriptures how much wonderful treasure he has given us. Because you, like the pearl of great price, are worth selling all that you had to get it. Jesus gave you all that he had, gave you his life, so that you could be reunited with God and find out this wonderful, wonderful purpose that God has given each of us. Thank you so much for joining me and listening to the Word of God this morning in the start of our new series, You're Worth It.